Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots Second Time Around podcast. I'm Marcy Caulfield, your Military One-Source State Consultant, and with me today is Nick Thomas, our Airman and Family Readiness Manager. Thanks, Nick, for joining us today.
Thanks, Marcy.
Before we get started, I'm just going to talk about our disclaimer and about how the information that's highlighted in this podcast is really for your own personal toolkit. The content is not the responsibility of the government, the National Guard, or the Vermont Military Family Programs. Now, I'm really excited today, Nick, for this Employment Motivation Boot Camp. So let's get started. What you do versus who you are in the employment realm is a huge topic out there, Nick. And the content that you have shared with the military community is fantastic. So I'm really glad that we can actually capture this audio piece on our podcast. So thank you for being here. What do you have in store for us today?
Thanks, Marcy. So we're talking about jobs in 2023. We're talking about the post-COVID environment. We're talking about the remote environment. And really, what we're trying to do here is get to the bottom of what you want to do and how you want to make your money.
Oh, really? So, like, what types of jobs are you thinking? Like transitioning jobs, whether it's military transitioning, or maybe like side hustles. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
A lot of people have a lot of skills, and it's how to figure out what those skills or market those skills are.
So Nick, can you really tell us about the type of jobs that are out there, like especially those transitioning jobs, those military transitioning ones for those of individuals that may have been having a military job for a long period of time, and now they're transitioning into a military culture?
So you've got your career track still. Those are the folks that are within their career. It's the most stable type of job. Usually it's industry-based, not so much company-based anymore. Back in the day, you'd hear IBM Lifer or something of that nature where you'd be at one job 25, 30 years. You get your gold lapel pin and you retire. Now, it's not so much anymore. 401ks and benefits are portable, so people do leave for better opportunities, but they might stay in the same career track. An example would be an RN. You can be a travel RN, or you can be an RN at a hospital. You might work at 15, 20 different hospitals before you're 30. You're still in the RN track. Same with teaching, not so much because the pensions are still tied to the school districts. But, you know, if you're going to be an educator, you're going to be an educator. And many of the positions do require licensing, higher degrees, those types of things. So if you're going to stick in your field, unless it's like marketing or sales, you're probably going to need more education to attain that stability. The next jobs that I'd like to talk about are kind of the transitionary or sector transitioning jobs. The thing with these jobs are they're the gateway to your next career. If you're going to go from being in sales and marketing over to teaching, because your values have changed, or if, for instance, all this AI stuff that we're talking about, if AI takes over your job and you need to find a new different type of job, you're going to transition to a new career that might interest you, or in the pursuit of your current career, you might end up doing something that you absolutely love as a project once that you want to make your new career. So the sector transitioning jobs are probably going to start at a lower wage. So you're going to want to be mindful of that when you try to transition and rebrand yourself. All the marketing gurus are going to talk about your personal brand. It is a real thing in the employment arena because as your resume changes, you really want to build in that experience. The problem, though, comes when you are, let's say, you know, 20 years in the medical field and then you switch over to sales. You might want to think about selling medical devices before you go sell cars. Unless you've got that personal touch in the public speaking and those things that can make that transition easier, you're typically going to make a bit less and it's going to be a bit harder to transition. So you don't want to base your end state or your end goal of your new career just on the sector transitioning job that you might land at first.
You know, when I think about transitioning and think about individuals that may have had been in the military workforce for a specific period of time and then needing to transition to the civilian realm.
In our military environment, we know this as transitioning out of the military, right? So if you're in active duty or in the Guard, you've been doing 11 Bravo your entire time, you've been an infantryman, now you're expected to go into the civilian world and work a completely different job, 9 to 5. Again, one more example. You had a job going into COVID, Zoom, Slack, Teams completely changed your sector. now you're either going to take a massive pay cut or you're going to move on to a new career. So that's the transitioning piece is what a lot of people are doing.
And what do you think about side hustles?
Right now, due to the massive amount of inflation that we're having, more and more people are getting what we call side hustles, or they're getting that extra job to make ends meet. And so understanding what bucket you're going to put your time and effort into is also really important, because your side hustle, you're not going to necessarily spend enough time doing your side hustle to where it becomes your main hustle, so to speak, unless you're starting your own business. If you're starting your own business, if you're a freelance photographer, you might moonlight and do that on the side while you work an admin job during the day, with hopes that your book of business builds in that photography business enough to take over and so that you can quit your admin job. But for the most part, they're part-time, and they're also important for that transitioning job that we just talked about, because in order to supplement that lack of income, if you go from a senior executive level position making quite a bit of money, or if you're a senior leader in the military, you know, 05, 06, if you're an E9 and you're used to quite a bit of money and you transition to the civilian world, it may help to speak on the side. It may help to consult on the side. And so just understanding where we're putting our efforts is huge.
Now, Nick, what has changed in the workforce since the past?
So what's changed, what's not changed in the workforce? Networking for a position has not changed. It totally looks different now. Networking is completely different than it was 5 to 10 years ago, but it's still there. And so making sure you're getting yourself injected into those social circles that will lead you to where you want to be is more important. Also, the more education, training, and certificates you have has also led to more upward mobility, with the caveat that nowadays entrepreneurship is making up a larger part of the population. And so if you're going to kind of pursue an entrepreneurial state where you're going to start your own business or try to increase your income that way, you don't necessarily need a lot of the professional certificates, degrees, educational programs. But with a lot of things becoming remote, companies are more leaning towards experience than degrees. But I will say, statistically speaking, academically speaking, there is a higher correlation to the level of your education to the dollars that you make. That's still true today. So the other side of that coin is, don't get sucked in 100% to the online gurus that say, just take my class and you don't need your degree. If you're in that position to pursue a degree, we always still recommend doing that. Also, gaps in your resume are still trying to be avoided and explained, but they are becoming more and more common as people switch. So even, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, my mother would say, like, oh, make sure you stay at a place 2 to 3 years to show stability, maybe even 5, and you don't want to take a lot of time between jobs. You'll still have to explain it, but nowadays HR folks are understanding that because benefits are more portable, a higher wage is always attained by when you go to actually ask for that higher wage, potentially not even in your company, in another company. It's not frowned upon as much. You still need to explain it, but I wouldn't get hung up on the fact that you've taken 2 years out of the workforce to pursue your master's, let's say. As long as you can explain that away, you're probably not going to get put in the no bucket immediately.
Wow, Nick, that's a lot of great information. Now, I'm curious, what do you think about thank you notes? Like, should people be responding, whether it's handwritten or digital, just to say, hey, thanks for your time? Is that still a thing?
Thank you notes after interviews and after opportunities, they look different. They're emails now. It's not like you're going to write a note and mail it. No one gets snail mail. But it's still a good process to touch base. And the simple fact of reminding the person of your name, the more exposure to your name, we're humans, right? Even in the employment environment, we use our kind of our human tendencies. So if you have a great interview or even a not so great interview, but you're the only one that followed back up and they were on the fence about you, it could actually push them in your favor. I can't forget a time when I attended just a professional development class, not even a job, not even an interview. I had reached back out to the instructor and said, hey, I mean, I really enjoyed the class. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to teach the class. The person said, hey, like, you know, thank you very much. It's great that you acknowledged the work I put into this. I'm looking for help in doing it, or I'm looking for XYZ. So you also don't know when opportunities are going to come up. So it's always good to be on point whenever possible.
You're right, Nick. Okay. So just another thing that's just kind of shot into my brain as we're talking about this, but what about networking? Now, I know that networking has been a hot topic that has evolved over time, and people who do different things and how it all comes together. Now, would you say that networking is a thing still when trying to transition with this whole employment realm?
Understanding your network, just like networking, is also important nowadays. Obviously, employers are more wide-reaching than ever with remote work. So you never know where your next job opportunity is going to come from. Multiple times I've had job interview opportunities come through Facebook Messenger from an old coworker that has now switched companies, moved up in that company, and is looking to staff out their office. Hey, I know you got your good thing going, but do you want to interview with me? Those types of things are starting to happen. Not only is it just your immediate family and friends, but if you've got a coworker that moved on, it's not outside the realm to touch base with somebody and get approached with an opportunity not too far after. So just making sure that you're keeping in contact with folks, even if they're not your close-knit family and friends, because you never know where the next opportunity is going to come from. Same with attending events and professional organizations. Can't foot stomp this enough. After COVID, we've all kind of shelled up. Most of us are not going outside of our routines anymore. You invite somebody to birthday parties, you invite somebody to baby shower, you invite somebody to anything. Attendance is low because people are just doing their own thing. A lot of people don't have the time to carve out of their schedule to go to stuff. But when you're in the process of actually looking for a new job, that becomes even more so important because you don't necessarily know, again, where that next job is going to come from. So make sure you take advantage of going to things and doing things and being social, especially when you're looking for a job.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, Nick, here's the question of the day. How do we actually plan for a job search? Do you think it's about location? And what should we really look for?
Yeah, Marcy, thanks for asking that. In talking about considerations for your job search and how to actually plan it, I always ask people to start with their why. And it might be kind of cliche to go in that direction, but what are you actually looking for and why do you want to change your job? So many service members and airmen come into my office and they say, hey, Nick, like, can you help me find a job? I need a new job. The first question is not necessarily like, well, what do you want to do? It's usually like, why are you looking? What about your current situation is not meeting your needs? Looking back at your career and family life, what are you after? What are you searching for in the new job? Do you need professional fulfillment? Are you not being utilized as much? Are you asked after more financial benefit, higher salary? Do you feel that your career field altogether is shrinking and you need to make a change? Are you working your nails to the bone and you need some more time off? Is your work-family balance out of whack? I ask people to figure out what is fueling their want for a new job to start with, because we all want different things out of life. And if you're contemplating a job change or have been laid off, it's an excellent time to start with your values so that when we do find that next position, you're not in the same place 3, 6 months, a year out. Like, we want to try to find stability. The more stability for our families, the better for their future. So especially with service members, as they're moving around in the active duty environment or in the guard environment, if you have to deploy knowing that your employer's got your back, that's a whole awesome feeling to have, you know, when you need to put in that notice to go on a deployment that you're working in a great spot. In addition, a location needs to be considered. So right now, obviously, we're going to be talking about the remote stuff and teleworking. That's a hot topic right now. But if you're going to look for a job in the community, how far are you willing to travel? Are you willing to relocate for the job? Like, what's the family situation like? If you're a single 25-year-old service member with no family in the area and you're not working in a gainful employment zone, one of the suggestions I might make is, hey, have you ever thought about moving and trying to find a space where those jobs are and kind of go to the job? If that's not you, if you have kids in the family, if you're tied to your community, if you love where you live and you just don't see yourself moving anywhere, how far are you willing to drive for that new opportunity? Do you prefer to live in the community you work into? I know when I was an educator, I had coworkers that didn't necessarily want to live in the same town they taught in, just because they wanted that extra separation, something I never even thought about, to be honest with you. But do you want to work and live in the same town. That's another big thing. Also, do you want to stay put due to your home or children's school? Sometimes, even when we're thinking about all this, it's great to think about, but if you're already locked into an affordable interest rate house and you got a good school system, yeah, that might be important to consider before, you know. And you might say, well, this job is going to give me a $10,000 raise, but, you know, is it worth 10 grand a year to take your kids out of that great school system? So making sure that we're drawing on our values and we're thinking about where we want to go. A pro tip here is to try to use Google Maps to actually plan your search. I use the draw tool and just kind of draw a circle about like, okay, you know, if we're in Burlington and I'm willing to go to Montpelier, that's it. That way you don't put any effort into working to find a job outside of that area.
You know, and I'm thinking about benefits, like what type of benefits should somebody on a job search do that would best meet their individual needs? Has that changed over time?
So outside of your why you want to get a job, where you want to work, the last thing is what you need out of it, right? Money, benefits, non-tangibles. This is a lot of the place where other career counselors, professionals, and conversations start. A lot of the time it's like, well, how much money do you need to make? Like, what are your benefit responsibilities? Like, do you need daycare? Those types of things. We're going to touch on those now, but if you can dial in on your why and you can figure out where you want to execute that why, at that point, it's a little bit easier to trim down the companies in the area that will meet your benefit needs. So again, we're trying to spend more time on the job hunt by looking inward to yourself than making a job mistake and then being out here looking for another job 6 months from now. So if with benefits, are you willing to take a pay cut to get more time with that family? Let's say your why is more time with the family and you can find a job that will give you a flexible schedule, but you're going to be taking a pay cut. Like, not only can you do that, but are you willing to do that? Also, are you ready to grind and work as many hours as you can? Let's say you want that raise, you're in sales, but you're selling surfboards in Alaska. Probably not the best fit. So we can go down to Florida, sell surfboards in Florida, and make a whole bunch more money doing the same type of thing. So again, it's more of a fluid discussion that you're going to have internally with yourself and if you're in a family dynamic with your spouse and your actual family. Also benefits. I know a whole bunch of people that their health insurance costs have gotten just absolutely crazy, and they have taken a pay cut to go with a company that has had a better benefit package, covers more things. Let's say you have a child that has dental issues or special needs. You might need to consider those insurance costs way above salary and take a massive pay cut to work with a company that's got better insurance coverage. So thinking about those money and benefits is important. And again, here you want to look to step one again to filter out those places that you can work for that will match your why and what you're willing to do. All right, so yeah, perfect. Branding and marketing, we all touch on that. It's not, unfortunately, in 2023, and I want to foot stomp this, you as an individual are not exempt to how companies market. You are now a company. You are your own company. Even if you're not an entrepreneur, you are kind of your own billboard for the quality of work that you put out and who you actually are. And so when I talk about that, people are really taken aback. A lot of my entrepreneur folks are like, yep, totally understand the walking billboard mentality. Here's my t-shirt, and I actually have a tattoo on my forehead of my company's name. But for regular employees, for service members, for those folks that are transitioning and looking for a new job, you might not think about your branding in the workforce and what your name means. And I always start with a digital rebrand.
Okay, never have heard of this before, Nick, a digital rebrand. What does that even mean?
And what I call a digital rebrand is, you know, people change. Life happens. You will change. It's the going constant of life. Things change. So we clean the house every spring from long winters. And why don't we clean up our social media accounts? Why don't we look at our pictures, do a photo review, do a text and content review, a friends list review? I said, well, Nick, you just said like maintain all of your relationships on connections online, those types of things for potential job interviews and offers. But at the same time, is your friend group the same as it was 10 years ago? And are those people that you used to be in contact with going in the proper direction? Not to say that some people's choices should affect you being friends with them or not. But again, if we're looking for a job, we're looking for opportunity, you want to make sure that your social networks, whether it be, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff, is a decent representation of who you are. Now, I'm not saying go out and clean slate it and just be, you know, a robot like everybody else and show only professionalism and no personality. No, we want personality. But I say this once, is if you haven't done a digital rebrand or if you haven't looked at it, like as an employer or as a manager, if I'm looking at your social medias, which they do, that's not a myth, they do. If I scroll back far enough, I could probably find it. So just making sure someone's not going to scroll through 10 years of Facebook history, but I would just say tighten up your most recent couple images, you know, back a year, making sure that digital rebrand is on point, because you want to make sure that not only are you networking the proper way, but you're putting off the proper persona.
Now, do you think that social media would help to land a job?
If you're not utilizing LinkedIn in the same form of fashion, make sure your LinkedIn is updated. I know a lot of people that will take a TAP class, service members will hear about LinkedIn, they'll create a LinkedIn account, they'll build it out, and then just ride out orders for 10 years or get other opportunities in the military and not look at it for a long time. And then they're given their URL LinkedIn on their resume, but they forgot to go back and actually update it. So that's another huge one to keep in mind, that like if you're going to have something, also commit to keeping it updated. And that's basically double check your stuff, keep it updated, and make sure that you can not only show your personality, but also show discretion with who you're connected with online.
You know, when I think about social media, we have come a long ways, but they do say that certain platforms tend to die over time. So is there a social setting that would be more beneficial for individuals to help land that new job?
Yeah, so using social media to find a job, you're right. I've brought it up a few times. Nowadays, you can find employment on social media. LinkedIn does have classifieds. There's obviously the online receptacles of applications, but you know, just like everyone else, they're accessible online. So staying connected with your professional references and asking to have those individuals as references moving forward can help you land a job. I specifically got a message from one of my employees probably like 5 or 6 years ago. She was working for me, did a great job. Random DM like, hey, I'm applying for this job. I know I worked for you a long time ago, but I got nobody else that could write me a letter of rec. Like, do you mind doing it? Yeah, no problem. You did a great job. No problem at all with that. And I was not even friends with that individual on the networking site. Just accepted it, sent a friend request, and then emailed over the letter of rec that night. And so you never know. So just staying in touch with people, your former supervisors, former coworkers is great. Also staying up to date with current events. Certain things, even if, like for instance, if you're not a football player or a football fan, or if you hate sports altogether, guarantee you the second week in February, we're going to be talking about the Super Bowl at the office. And so if you just happen to have an interview with somebody that is sports-minded, you might not know about the game, you may not have watched it, but it could be a good idea to know at least who won. Or if there's a major unfortunate political event in the world, or if anything's going on, I hate to say it, but you'll find out on social media probably faster than the news, because everyone's wall is going to look the same. Their feed is going to be, you know, posting with that. So social media and I have a long-term relationship, love, hate, back, forth, use it, don't use it. But there is value in just being connected with folks for references, for opportunities, and just to be kind of in the know of what's going on in the world. Please definitely don't get news information from social media, but it's a good way. Like if you're, like I said, if you're not about sports and everyone's posting about the Eagles winning, okay, cool. Like now I know what's going on. Again, don't quote me on that. I didn't watch the Super Bowl this year, but I didn't even know if they were in it. But at the same time, the point is still valid.
Now, Nick, is there a way that we can use social media to benefit us to become more educated prior to that job interview or just deciding if they're the best fit for your individual needs?
So you can research the company that you're going to apply for. Again, we really do want to make this next employment application one that's going to stand the test of time. We don't want you there for 6 months. If you get the job, hopefully you'll stay for a while until you're fulfilled or until you have to move on. And one way to mitigate taking a job that you hate is maybe looking at the company's Facebook page that you're going to apply for. See what they're posting, see what they're supporting, see what they're into, see what their projects are, and making sure that that aligns with your values. You don't want to necessarily be stuck working somewhere that, you know, doesn't support what you do. Unfortunately, there are some companies out there that do take a stance against military members. And so as a military member, if you're looking to transition in the civilian world, not that that couldn't work or not that I would dissuade you from applying to a job you want, but like, you might want to be aware of what company standpoints are, and you'll probably find that on their Facebook page a lot faster than clicking through the deep dark menus of their websites that are usually clunky. So making sure that you're up to date with the company that you're applying for is another big one. And then last but not least, if you join groups on Facebook or if you join groups on Instagram or anywhere where people kind of combine to share like-minded interests, let's say fishing, I find that you can only talk about fishing for so long. And if you're in the group long enough, somebody's going to talk about where they work. Someone's going to talk about what they do. And I can't tell, I can count the times on one hand in a weekend where I'm in an interest group for one of my hobbies, right? And someone's like, yeah, like work's been killing me. Oh, we're down, you know, we're down three employees. Hey, any of you guys want to come to Minnesota? Like, yeah, okay. I mean, so the idea is also to get in touch with your interests online, but also, and it only really works if you're not there attempting to find a job. Like, don't join like a guitar interest Facebook group and lurk for 6 months waiting for a job. That's not how that works. But if you're going to be there and share interests with people and connect with people, eventually they're going to want to learn more about you because they care about you. So again, we're leveraging different areas of the social media. We're leveraging your prior connections. We're leveraging your interest. We're leveraging your research opportunities to figure out stuff about the company. And we're leveraging, you know, political, socioeconomic, you know, sports events in the news. So we're leveraging all of this stuff with your favorite social media app that you're on all the time in order to aid you with the job search, to make you a more qualified candidate and a more connected candidate.
All right, Nick, tell us about that new tech. What's out there and how can we become familiar to help us with this?
There is a lot of tech out there. So new tech to be familiar with. I find that utilizing tech to your advantage is fantastic. And if you are the person that knows about tech, not necessarily the tech expert, but if you know about it and you're up to date with the recent trends, then you can, you know, you'll be that person in the office that when layoffs go around or when there's a promotion up, like, hey, this person's not only not good at their job, but they can also suggest ways to streamline the office, ways to improve things. So if you're not familiar with Slack and Discord, other collaboration things, Zoom, Teams, Meets, Google Meets, if you're not familiar with cross collaboration platforms, I would attempt to try to get some LinkedIn training or YouTube training on how to use some of those, because I guarantee you when you do start any new job nowadays post-COVID, like, you're going to be assigned some type of account to collaborate with people not in your area. Same with certain connectivity stuff like VPN. In the military, we'd like, VPN's down, oh, the network's down. Yeah, network's always down. But do you want to be that person that literally the network is down every time they telework, period? Probably not. And your network is probably not down. You probably can't figure it. It's probably user error. Now, I'm not saying it's not like that all the time, but again, stigmas also come with this. So, hey, if you're the techie expert, like, yeah, you're a multifaceted multi-tool. It's great. You know, we'll keep you around. But if you're the person that, if I can send you an email and I don't get a response for 72 hours a week, we are at the point now also for, and this is kind of a message towards not necessarily the older generation workers, but the generational workers that really resisted tech for a long time. I'm starting to hear in meetings and such that, like, you know, ignorance is not an excuse towards email, towards connectivity, toward, like, we're get as a society, we've integrated it now to the point where some type of mastery over technology is important. So the things that are popular, like I said, Slack, Discord, Zoom, Teams, those cross collaboration platforms, as well as project management software is becoming big, tracking your teams, tracking your projects, because we need to prove what we're doing. I don't care what sector or industry you're in, metrics are becoming huge benchmarks for moving things along in the positive direction while people telework. And just to be like aware of things like AI and, you know, ChatGPT, that type of stuff. Like, you hear about that. There's like a South Park episode on that. It's pretty funny. But in general, being aware of the latest tech also makes you an asset in the office. And that's overall, it's not necessarily, I'm not going to say like what tech to be familiar with, but the statement is be familiar with tech. And lastly, I would also like to say, in conjunction with that, be flexible with tech. If a manager comes into the office, or if you're trying to get a job and they mention some tech that you're not interested in or you're not sure about, don't automatically shut down because you don't know what it is. Being flexible saves you a lot of time. Automating things saves you and the company a lot of time. I had a friend who just tried not to travel because he hated DTS so much. Like, he would always, like, he would hate going through DTS and doing vouchers. So, like, would not take training opportunities or would not take opportunities to travel because he just didn't want to use DTS. And I thought that was hilarious. Until I'm like, you know, I feel bad because it's like you're missing out on all these opportunities just because you don't know how to use a particular, or you don't want to deal with submitting vouchers for pay. Like, so really tech is a big deal to just be flexible on and be aware of.
You know, Nick, oftentimes when people are on the employment journey, it's all about learning those skill sets to be more marketable. Now, do you think that we can use social media to help with that? Is there areas of interest that would be more beneficial for people than others? You know, there's a lot of different qualifications out there, certifications, courses that are available to people, and it's all that online learning platform. Can we talk a little bit more about that?
Great. Yeah, I'll touch on that. So learning new skills online college. One of the things in the, I would say, late 90s, early 2000s that came about, or, you know, online degrees and online diploma mills and all that, like, there was a connotation back in the day that your online degree did not mean as much as a brick and mortar in-person degree. That is so far from the truth now, it's not even funny. And as someone that's currently in online school right now, I can honestly say that, like, certain stuff, like the discussion boards and that type of stuff, can be hit or miss. But overall, the quality of education is still right there. You're doing the assignments, you're getting things done. And at the end of the day, on your resume, you're not going to indicate that it was an online school. Same for your military correspondence courses. A lot of them, you know, in residence versus correspondence. I tell service members not even to delineate the two on the resume. Like, you don't need to make yourself look like a less desirable candidate by putting something like remote or correspondence on there. If you went to officer training school, OTS, like, just put OTS, period. Like, you don't need to know, you know, or whatever the schooling or the training is. The online skills and online learning has become a boom. Now, there's really two tracks with this. Three. There is the professional online degree granting institutions where you finish a certificate, a degree, a program. The second is like online gurus, almost, where it's a short blitz of a course, might be 500 to $2,000-$3,000. It's one course on one topic. You take it. You may get a little certificate, but it's not a professional degree. And then the last thing that I always harp on is self-taught YouTube. And so you need to figure out with online learning, what's the skill for and why do you need it? And that will help you determine how much money you want to sink into it, right? Like, if you are trying to get your MBA, Master's of Business Administration, online, like, you need to pay for tuition in a university to have that credential. If you are looking to do accounting, specifically accounting, because your manager said, hey, you're going to be taking over this accounting project, and you're like, what do you mean? I'm not a CPA, I'm not an accountant. Well, man, it's your task. You might want to take a direct accounting course, an accounting online CBT, or just hit up YouTube and try to learn it yourself. But I will say, we are in the wealthy generational age of knowledge where everything is online and available for you for free. So really figure out, like, what you really need to pay for and what you can do for free. You know, like, I YouTube everything, how to change brakes on my car. Anytime I get a new car, like, a you might have the general mechanics down, but each brake caliper is different, those types of things. Like, there's probably a video on that. So if you're just looking to increase your capacity at work and do a better job, you can learn it for free online. If you're looking to upscale in the employment industry where you need to add a certificate or degree, you might want to go through an accredited university and pay for that. But most online certificates are also self-paced, which can totally help with kids, family, life. Traditionally, at a brick and mortar, you might need to take two or three classes at a time, get there for 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, stay there till 10, drive back home. And with an infant, that might not be possible, or any kid of any age that matter. So the online courses offer the flexibility, which is why they've become so popular. But you're going to want to vet those sources of those courses and certificates too, making sure that it's, you know, it's an industry accredited or accepted industry leader like Google. Google does tech certificates. They're not even that expensive. You can get like a Google certificate for like 50 or 75 bucks. Pretty sweet. But like if you go to work, like let's say if you're in HR and you go to work for Comm or IT or like military intelligence or something like that in the Army or the Air Force, like, you know, you might want to have like your network or security plus, not just a Google certificate. So again, look at your audience, look at what you're accomplishing and trying to accomplish, circle back to your why, figure out what you're trying to do, and then make a learning plan based on what you actually need to get done. And that's another great way to capitalize on where you put your money so that you don't necessarily waste money. I do talk to a lot of military members and veterans that it's not that they wasted their money on school, because I don't think education is ever a waste, but they didn't optimize what they spent their money on. And so now that they're stuck with a degree that they have to kind of like, you know, make work or highlight in a different way to try to pass it off instead of going for what they wanted to. Keep in mind, there's other websites like LinkedIn, Microsoft products online. You could take a whole bunch of free stuff everywhere. So again, figure out what you need and why you need it, and you'll be good.
All right, Nick, you've given us a lot to think about today, and I really appreciate your time. Before we go, let's talk about those final like kind of check-ins before we encourage people to start the process. Kind of wrap it up in a nutshell for us.
Final checks before the job hunt. So this is it, folks. We are parking the mothership. We are steering towards the hangar. We are pulling into the motor pool here. So the final checks, right? You figured out what type of job you want, whether it be a career job, transitioning, a side hustle, just a new job. We figured it out. We also talked about finding a purpose in that job, finding meaning, finding your why before you embark on that. And you've defined your values. So making sure that your values in line with what you need, and you know how much money you will need. So, okay, values are important, the why, the type of job, but we do need to look at the finances and the money of the situation, as well as the benefits. So we know what we need, we know where we need it, area of search is defined. So, and now but not least, we know how we're gonna go get it, right? We're gonna need to figure out what type of social media to capitalize on, tech skills, education, gaps in employment we talked about. Basically, we know what we need to bring to the table to reach those goals. And you have an idea of your network that can also help you get that job. So thinking about all of the final checks that we just ran, like what are you deficient on? Is your resume looking great, but your network is not so great? Do you have a lot of friends, but a not so great resume? Do you have an amazing array of civilian education or not so much? Could use some work. So trying to figure out what type of job you're leaning towards, what that type of job is going to pay you, and are you going to survive? We are in a period of hyperinflation, so making sure that you do get paid your worth. But making sure that your experience and what you bring to the table does align to where you want to be. We're gonna get into the tips for overall success, right? So we've done the checks. We're ready to rock and roll. Some parting shots for tips for success for all of our service members here in the Vermont National Guard, both Air and Army. Thinking about what interests you about your current position and what you would like to keep doing in respects to your current career as you look for your new job. Hunt the good stuff in the MRT training manual. I can't say this enough. You know, no matter, even if your job is something that doesn't make you happy, something that causes stress and anxiety, there usually is some element that you want to take with you. I had a service member come for some assistance, and the one thing, ironically enough, they said, The job sucks. Everything about it, I hate. But the one thing I do like is I figured out that I do like a drive. Like, I do like that decompression time, because my old job, I used to leave, it was 5 to 10 minutes down the road. By the time I would get home, I'd still be angry and stressed for my family. He said, oh, now I know that I kind of like, I could do that 45 minutes, like, you know, from Jericho to Milton or whatever, like, whatever. So it's like figuring out what about your current situation that you can actually take with you, and use that as a basis if you still have to iron out some of the other stuff you're looking for. Also, resumes and employment, jobs, this is a numbers game. You won't get a job if you don't apply.
And that's a great lead-in, Nick, to our tips for overall success.
A lot of people like to think about getting a new job. They like to talk about getting a new job. They say that they need a new job. My manager's horrible. This place is horrible. I can't deal with this anymore. They never go home, open up their laptop, and get it going. So part of that is doing the work on the back end to make sure that you can get that job. And it's a numbers game. So don't find one amazing job that you're like, oh, this is that Title V civilian job over in the finance office. It's going to be great. It's like a 13, 14, 15 something pie in the sky where you could just kind of sit there like and only apply for the one job, because you're going to be in for a letdown or, you know, something like that when you don't get the good news. So making sure you're applied to multiple jobs, think of it like a snowball. You start rolling that thing down the hill, picks up steam, picks up snow. All of a sudden the ball gets bigger. You put out 20 apps, maybe you'll get an interview for one. Put 40, maybe two or three. Put out 50, 100. Next thing you know, you're going on interviews all week. And instead of taking a job out of desperation, you are taking a job on comparison. That's the ultimate goal there. Being honest with yourself is also important. So if you have time to scroll through a news feed, you do have time to submit an application. Time is one thing we don't get back. I wish we could get all the time in the world back from the stuff that we do that's not so productive. And taking a break is important. We're going to get to that. Not to worry. I'm going to tell you to take a break. You don't need to just sit there and mindlessly submit job applications till you get one. But you do need to be honest with yourself. If you tell me, hey, Nick, like I don't know where to do it. Like, I don't have time. I will make you find time. And part of that is probably going to be reducing video games, reducing social media, reducing scrolling, reducing the time in bed before bed, like when you're not being productive and you're just on social media. Some people use social media and scrolling and you time wasting kind of quote unquote things to shut their brain off, and that's fine. But if it becomes such a distraction that you don't have time to submit job applications, you gotta look at that a little bit. And it can help if you schedule your time to do applications, such as, like, you know, I'm going to submit 5 applications a week from 6 to 7 p.m. Like, 6 to 7, no joke, is my job application time. Everything about that is going to be about my family, is going to be about my, you know, sports, working out, you know, riding my motorcycle, whatever you want to do, hitting the range. So really, if you are struggling to apply for jobs because, and the reason why I bring this up is because it's so time consuming. It's not just like, hey, Mr. Manager, I want a job. Cool. You're great. You're hired. No, like, job applications take a long time to submit. Your resume takes a long time to edit and get together. So making sure you're scheduling time for that will also help with the time management piece, because you also have other responsibilities. You're cooking dinner. You're doing laundry. You're working your current job that I hope you haven't left yet. And so you're trying to plan this exit while doing everything else. So making sure you book out your time to do that is important.
Overall, everyone listening in, Nick and I just want to remind you that we want you to stay motivated. And if you need a break from the employment hunt, take one, because this journey can put a lot of stress on individuals if you feel like things are not happening fast enough for you.
Give yourself a break. Yep, I said it. Take some time away. If you are getting inundated with job applications and you're getting stressed out and you can't make it happen, you haven't heard back from a long time, and you're not making any headway in the job arena there, just take a day off. It's not the end of the world. Like, and I wish somebody would have told me that when I was a bit younger too, because it's like, oof, like, we're so used to just like excellence, 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 hammer it out. But the process is a bit of a grind. And if you look back to, like, I think it was like my second or third tip is like, it's a numbers game. If you're doing the numbers game, you can afford to take a break. So making sure you're doing that to stay on
Nick
point.
Nick Thomas, I appreciate you. Thank you for being on the podcast with me today.
It's been a pleasure to be here and talk about employment. I find that a lot of the time we talk about like how to get a job, how to get your resume right and all the nuts and bolts, but people don't really take time aside to talk about like, well, what do you need out of a job? Let's try to prevent you from the high turnover. And service members, they are at a higher risk, I would say, for higher turnover. There is correlation between, you know, doing a lot of things in the military and then having a lot of high turnover on the civilian side. So, you know, I'm speaking for all of those that are not only just retiring, but that are holding down a civilian career and drilling on the weekend. You can make a change and you can stick with the job that you like for a longer period of time, but the work happens before you submit the application, not while you're miserable and you know, after the fact, while you're working a job you don't like. So if we can save you time from applying for jobs that are not gonna fit your needs, that's really great stuff. So yeah, keep in mind, start with the why, figure out why you wanna leave, figure out what you need and how to get there, figure out your gaps, figure out what you could do to, you know, self-improve, and then just get after it. And if you need anything, the Family Programs Office is here to help.
And when in doubt, please reach out to our 24/7 support call center at 1-888-607-8773. And we'll see you next time. Bye.